Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
The officiousness in the church is just, it's not something I'm used to. Good morning, church. It's good to see all of us here today. Carol, it's good to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. Worship team, thank you so much. That was, you came today and you are not joking. Hallelujah. Yes, you didn't want to waste any time. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team, for the preparation. Sometimes I hear what goes behind the scene, and it's not a coincidence that we can have such great praise and worship. Hallelujah. I will hug Esther and the entire team at the end of, yes, I'll hug with Seed. Yeah, maybe like Lubowa like Seed anyway. So, yes, I'm glad to be here. Did you know that Muslims have matters? They also have matters. Who found out this week? You were this week old when you found out, eh? Yes, I also found out this week that actually Muslims have matters, eh? And I saw that on TV. And as I was in shock, I was disturbed by what they were doing. But yeah, they also have matters. The devil has people who are willing to also die for him, eh? So anyway, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to preach. And thank you for letting me know early. Hallelujah. So I don't have any excuse. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I was coming today, I asked the people in the car, who likes my preaching? No. Sam told me out of the blue. He's like, by the way, Sam is my husband. By the way, I like your preaching. I'm like, hey, are you just telling me to hype me up for the service or what? So I asked, I'm like, okay, let's take a vote. How many of you like my preaching? So, Kwanzi, my daughter, tells me, yeah, I like your preaching. Me, mommy, I like your preaching. Then I ask Kwezi. Kwezi says, what? I've never even heard you preach. I'm like, So I'm like, Kwezi, you've never heard me preaching. So immediately the father Bambi starts, comes to my rescue, starts reminding him, remember the sermon on Philemon? What he's like, So if you needed to be reminded, yeah, that means that maybe I'm not doing so well with him. Hallelujah. But I pray that today I do good by the Lord. Glory to God. I pray that I get a commendation, just like the worship team, from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about the presence of God. The presence of God. What it means for us. That LAT, we are lucky, we are blessed that we can come here and have such good praise and worship. And for me, when the worship was really, like at one point, I was like, you know, when you feel like you're climbing up, you're going higher and higher in the spirit, I was like, we're experiencing this, eh? And it's just so amazing. And I'm going to talk about the presence of God. But I'm like, God, I want this to be my week's experience, that on Monday I still continue going higher and higher, that the worship team has set me off. So I don't want to come back on Sunday and they're getting me from below, you know, below ground. So that's what I was thinking as I was praying, as telling God, God, let me experience this even during the week in my day-to-day life. Eh? So today we're going to talk about, I'm going to remind you, you know these things. I'm sure you know them, but you just need to be reminded of God's presence. What does it mean to you and I? You know God is always with us. We believe that. God is always with us. Hallelujah. It is a blessing that God is always with us. It is so easy to just think that, yes, God is always with us. And it is true. But sometimes, not really. I don't know if you've gone through those seasons where you feel like, are you still with me? God, am I there? Am I alone? Are you with me? Did you leave? Did I leave? You know? So in one sense, God is always with us. In another sense, not so. And we are going to see, the Bible is going to add up these pieces for us. Hello? And we shall, at the end of this service, I just want us to just walk in the renewness, in the newness of all the remembrance of the fact that God is with us and His presence is not neutral. His presence is not passive. His presence is transformational. Glory to God. And this is not just exclusive for us who are in full-time ministry. That God, the Bible right from the beginning, by the way, to the end, talks about a God who has wanted to dwell with you and I. Right from the Garden of Eden, He has wanted to dwell with His people, to tabernacle with His people. Then things happened in between. But still God stayed on the what? On the mulamwa. He's like, I still want to dwell with my people. And in the new earth and in the new heavens, it will be, that will be it. We shall be dwelling with the Lord. But you don't have to wait for that time. Now, why is it important? Why was God on this thing of I have to dwell with my people? What should it look like for you and I? And especially in these last days. We are in the last days. Lubowa, we are in the last days. New Mane Summit, we are in the last days. Glory to God. So let's go to Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me there. So we see from this scripture that God is actually omnipresent. He's in every place. We cannot hide from Him. So yes, in that sense, God is always with us. Okay? He is everywhere. And then when we go to Matthew 28, verses 20, God makes us a covenant commitment, a promise to always be with us to the ends of the earth. Okay? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo. I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus makes a covenant promise that whether we are sinners, he will always be with us. Always be with us. So in that sense, God is with everybody on earth. Hallelujah. In that sense, He is with everybody on earth. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Again, you see that for us who are born again, He is making a covenant promise. Talikuleka. Okay? He is always with you. Whether you're on your highs, on the mountaintop experiences, in the valleys, God is always with us. So you can start by believing the Bible right there. But then again, when you read other portions of scripture, you know when you're reading the Bible, when you take out one thing, yeah, and you don't balance it with another truth, you will be in trouble. So the Bible self-validates. Glory to God. And it's not like any other book, like where you're like, when you read a fiction character book, you're like, what happened to that person? Did they die? Is there a sequel? Maybe you watch series, you're thinking, maybe in season two, this person may come back. Now they have said this person, Bamubuziza, the main character, you know those things of Hollywood. The character can get lost in the first season. Then they show up again in the second one. Then they disappear. Then they come back. But the word of God is not like that. When we're reading the word of God, we long to, or we should look for, a point of balance. When you read something like that, and then you come across Psalm 105 verses 4. He says, David was saying, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. This God who is always with us, why is he telling us here? To seek his face evermore. Why? When you go to Isaiah 55, 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This God who is always with us, who has promised to be with us till the end of time. Now he is saying, seek the Lord forever. Like, seek the Lord while he may be found. Are there times when the Lord is not found? Call upon him while he is near. Are there times when the Lord is far? So now, the Bible adds for us a few things. It will tell us, give us the in-between, what happens when the Lord is with you, when you feel that, when the Lord is with you and you can feel his presence, you have come here today, you have experienced him through worship, and then on Monday, you find yourself reading this scripture and it's ministering to you in a fresh way. You're like, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That when you're in the worship session, you felt God. You can swear that God was there. God was there. Netumulabako, netumu feeling. What for people who have goosebumps? They will tell you, when a goosebump came. But now, he is the same God who promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So why do we have this mismatch? Oh, it seems. So, I'm going to talk about the manifest presence of God. When you go to Exodus 33, 14 to 16, this is when Moses asks for the presence of God to go with him. And this portion of scripture is so interesting. He says, God is with Moses, and they are talking face to face. Okay? Moses, up to this time, had seen that he had actually talked to the Lord, to God. Yeah, he had fellowshipped with him. But now he comes and he says, in their conversation with him, in his conversation with the Lord, he says, my presence will go with you and I'll give you, back up to 12. And we get this conversation in context. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you said to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you shall send with me. And yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence, now this is the Lord's response to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses says to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Please leave that scripture up there. Moses is talking to the Lord, and now he's telling him, let your presence go with us. This is so queer. It's like being with your child, and your child is telling you, be with me. I want you to be with me. I want you to go with me. But you're like, but I'm here. God had given Moses an assignment. He was actually there. Okay? So you would think that it's obvious to Moses that the Lord will be with him. But he says, you know what? If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up there. Then he tells him that by your presence, we shall be separate. We shall be distinguished. We shall be set apart. Hallelujah. So Moses asks for the presence of God. Now you and I don't even have a CV like Moses is. Okay? Maybe you're there. If you're there and your CV is like for Moses, you've done great and mighty things, please put up your hand, come and take over from me. And tell us a few things that you know about the presence of God. But you see, Moses realized at that point, for the things that he had seen with the Lord, he knew beyond the miracles, beyond the word, beyond the smoke, the fire, he knew that it was the presence of God that would distinguish them. Why did he want to be distinguished? For him, that is what the presence of God meant. And that is what the presence of God should mean for you and I, that by his presence, you are distinguished. Glory to God. By his presence, you are set apart. We are living in a time where it's very important for us, for especially that part of being set apart comes through. The days are evil, you know. But many times, the average Christian, by the way, lives a life of a victim, a defeated person, you know. You come, you pray in tongues, you go away, and then when something happens at office, you're the first to be booted, you're the first to complain. You know, for example, you don't leave hospital, for you're always in hospital, your kids are there, as in you're living your life like you don't have the presence of God. Kwegamba, when people look at you, there is nothing different from someone who is a heathen, someone who is not even born again. And that is where Christians are challenged. That he, but I don't see any difference in your life. If you're suffering like me, then let me just stay. It's good for your suffering with sacrifice. Yeah? And then this person who is not born again will tell you, then let me just stay here. And for me, I work hard. No things of sacrificing, about what. Let me just stay where I am. Well, because they don't see a difference between Christians and non-Christians. But that shouldn't be your life and I. When we say we have the presence of God, it is not passive. It is not neutral. If you ever find yourself in a place, even when you leave and you're challenged and you feel like the Lord is not there, the presence of God is not neutral. We sing these things, and sometimes I even fear to sing them. Wobeda mukama wobeda wabeda wenjaulo. Etendo. Mukama wabeda wabeda wenjaulo. But abeda mugwe. Is there enjaulo? Are you distinguished from the rest of the people? So, and I realize that, you see, for as long as you can live, and I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but if you want to go deeper in God, if you want that distinguishing factor, that X factor about you and I, it shouldn't be the things that we wear, the cars that we dress, the dresses that we wear, the cars we drive. It is really the presence of God. Now, you can still live when the Lord is with you, by the Holy Spirit, he dwells in you, and you're going to make it to heaven. But the in-between of how, while we are still on earth, how are you going to live it? You can still end up in heaven, but live a life that is below what you have been called to live. The Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life. You want the God kind of life. The answer is the presence of God in your life. If you believe that it's actually a distinguishing factor, just like Moses did. Glory to God. So for as long as you can live without this presence, tell you again, kusika. Nobody is going to say, please don't come to church because you don't have the presence of God. No. We shall all live through life, but you will suffer a lot more. You will be defeated a lot more. Even in your family. I have seen, I'm honored actually to have been in places where there is a tangible presence of God, but more than that, I have seen people who, for them, everything around them, you enter their house, there is a presence of God. You enter their car, it's something tangible. What many people, the millennials right now, call vibes. Many of these things are very spiritual. Who knows negative vibes here? But maybe into believers, who knows trash vibe? That it's a new one. There is negative vibe, positive vibe, trash vibe. Now, trash vibe, I'm told, is that one that belongs to the dustbin. Yeah? That someone just, they are trash. Yeah? Being able to believe very, very spiritual. There are people, maybe at your workplaces, who enter a room and you just feel like just negative vibes. Eh? Oh, yampa, negative vibes. You see that phone call and you know your day has ended at midday. The phone call comes and you're like, ha, ah. And it's not so much in the content of what they are saying. They may just be asking you, why did you put X, Y, Z? Why did you? But you just feel like this person just has, there's just negative energy around them, negative vibes. Those things are so spiritual. Glory to God. May you, if you can discern negative energy and trash vibes and positive vibes, you can discern the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. That shouldn't be difficult. Then there are people who maybe like a boss or something, they enter a room and we just know that definitely this today, yeah, we are going to have a good time. So and so has come. You leave and go to, who is leading the meeting? Ted is leading the meeting. And you even go early. Why? Because there's just something that they give you, that they give off. Eh? Glory to God. Amen. So, there are sometimes even, for us who are in ministry, you actually also feel it sometimes. But you know, God is so good that there are people, even when they always have the presence of God in them, or you can feel it, sometimes it seems like it's also not there. So there is no one who has these exclusive rights about the presence of what? Of the Lord. Chinechintucha presence of God, whoever taps into is the one who gets glory to God. It is open, free for anyone. Glory to God. If you want to be, to live that life, for me, I look at like Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn. That guy, even from the way the guy walks like this, you just feel, Catherine Kuhlman says just 3 sentences. You feel like, Bane, I'm in heaven already. You're listening and you're thinking, the people who listened to her then, how did they feel? You know? So there is a class I attend. It's a workout class. And one day, they got a new trainer for us. Now, this new trainer was doing everything better than our ordinary guy. Yeah, the guy that trains us. So this guy, he worked us from one end of the room to another. What was doing everything well. But I struggled. I really, really struggled. I had eaten. I was full. I was like, yeah, I'm going to work out. What? But you people, for like the first like 30 minutes of the class, I didn't know where the arm was going. I didn't know where the leg was going. I was really struggling. And then our trainer was fixing up some machines. And then when he was done, he came. And he started saying, hey, Joanne, hey, Joanne, hey, Joanne. You people, I don't know where the energy came from. I don't know where the energy came from. At that point, I even told him, hey, I even challenged him. What? Go down with one knee. What? I did all those things. But you see, those things are as spiritual and as natural as they can be. Let me put it that way. Okay? So, as you say that there are people who have, in fact, when the guy started, that is all he did that day. I think he didn't want to work out. He just said, tambuzi. Amongst us, hey, calling Paul, hey, Esther, glory, hey. And before we knew it, you guys, that is when I was like, this class belongs to this guy. Okay? So now, just like there are people who are like that, this guy brought positive energy. He wasn't doing much, you people. The other one, the new guy, actually, honestly, in terms of the professional training, the new guy that they have brought for us was far better than our usual trainer. But our usual trainer had a presence. He had an anointing that the other one didn't have. So these things are as natural, but they are also spiritual. The presence, what you call the vibes, the what, you can actually feel them. And do not ignore them. Now, I'm not saying that you look at people, you know, suspiciously, ngabulika sela gogamba Robin or Enzo Kumpa vibe, what? But, but be sensitive to some of these things, okay? You go to a place and you feel that there is something missing, or you feel that there is something. Just be sensitive, be conscious. I pray that the Lord will bring us or remind us to go back to those places where He leads you like that. You go somewhere and you're like, I'm not going to pass here. And then after you have passed, you hear, there was an accident. Yeah. There was a presence that was ready in that place. And we're going to look through a very simple example of the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible and how it moved. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant was a representation in the Old Testament of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we go to, where am I? We go to 1 Samuel. We're going to take most of our reading from there. 1 Samuel, verses 4. No, chapter 4. 1 Samuel, chapter 4. The ark of God is captured. But before we look at the ark of God being captured, let me just give you a very quick, because it's a big text. Let me give you a very quick background of what had happened. So you know, there is Eli at that point in Israel was the priest, and he had his sons, Phinehas and whatever you call him. These guys were wicked. They were profaning the place of God, the tabernacle of God, the place where they would offer sacrifices. So they were profaning it. Many things were happening there. And the Lord brought it up to Eli and told Eli, tell your sons to style up. They're profaning my place, my sanctuary. And guess what? Eli just goes, treats the matter nonchalantly, just tells them, but you young boys, my sons, I'm paraphrasing, you should stop doing this wickedness in the Lord's sanctuary. But these guys never stopped. And soon after that, another man of God comes and gives Eli a prophetic word concerning his family. Now God had gotten really angry and tells him, you know what, I'm going to cut short your life. No one in your house is going to grow to their old age. They are going to die young. And for those who will not die young, I am still going to deal with them. Now, at this point, Eli goes like, okay, let us do, you're the Lord, you can do what you want. But in the meantime, there was a young boy called Samuel who was, I'm saying this for the sake of my sons. So, Carol's son. So, in the meantime, there was a young boy called Samuel who was growing up in the temple of God, and God was bringing him up, was training him to serve him, and he would eventually become the prophet or one of the outstanding prophets in Israel. Are we together? Amen. Sunday school teacher. So a time comes and Israel goes out to battle with Philistine. Now, that is where chapter 4, we're going to start from there. So, Israel goes to battle with Philistine, and as they went to battle, they said, you know what? The Ark of the Covenant. They remembered her. There is the Ark of the Covenant, and at that time, that is where God dwells. Remember in Exodus 25, Moses is told, make this Ark. He's given specific instructions over what the Ark should look like, and God promised Moses that he will dwell in that Ark. So it wasn't a new thing for Israel to bring up the Ark of the Covenant during battle times. Oh, when they wanted to inquire of the Lord, the priests, the Levites, would actually carry the Ark of the Covenant. Now, they go out to battle with Philistine. They say, bring the Ark of the Covenant. But remember, I've given you the history of what was happening in the places of worship under the priesthood of Eli. So they take out this Ark into battle, and guess what? The Philistines whooped the Israelites so badly that they not only won them, not only did they win them or kill them, but they even carried the Ark of the Covenant with them. So now we start in 1 Samuel when our Ark has been captured. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the new covenant, because when they capture the presence of the Lord, now what do you do? What do you come to do here on Sunday? Hallelujah. You guys, you should clap for the Lord, eh? That the Lord, these things were symbolic, yeah? Imagine someone capturing the presence of God and running away with it, eh? And this person is not even a believer. You say there is a fellow Israelite taking the what? The presence of the Lord. But a heathen, utterly mulokole, who has all those places where they, you know, idol worship and maybe, there's witchcraft. Those are the people who take your presence. So what would you do as a believer? Imagine it was our day-to-day setting. So when the Lord says that these things were symbolic, for me at that point I said, God, thank you that nobody can capture you from me, that I have to go looking for you, yeah? And then, you know, you have to go into the territory of the enemy. And that is also another story. So, the Ark of the Covenant is captured and taken. And now Israel doesn't know what to do. We start from verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 19. So on that day, remember that prophecy that I talked about? So Eli is told, you will die. You and your sons will die on the same day. No one in your household will live to full age. And now in chapter 19, in verse 19, we see, now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was with child due to be delivered. And when he heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, you know, they had died on the same day, as the Lord spoke, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said, do not fear, for you have borne a son. She did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, because her father-in-law and her husband had been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband had died. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. So we see that this ark, the presence of God, remember we were talking about what does the presence of God mean for you and I? So the ark of God is captured. We go to chapter 5, where now this ark, when the Philistines captured this ark, they took it, put it in Dagon's temple. And when they put it in Dagon's temple, I'm not going to put up everything, yeah? When they put it in Dagon's temple, right besides Dagon fell. We all know that story. The young and the old. Do you know the story? No, he said he doesn't know. So I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. So there is a Philistine god who was called Dagon, who had a temple relegated to him. And when the Philistines got this Ark of the Covenant, they took it and put it right next to Dagon. And in the morning, these guys woke up, went to the temple, and found that Dagon had actually fallen down. Their idol, their god called Dagon, had fallen down. Can you imagine this ark that could not help the Israelites when they were in battle? Now he's making a foreign god to fall down. Can you see, doesn't it baffle you that these guys carried it? The guys to whom the presence of the Lord belonged, the Israelites, they carry it to war. They put it there and they are whooped. 4,000 men in one battle. Gone. These guys, the heathen, who do not know the God. In fact, they kept on saying, the God of the Israelites. Take the presence of God, the ark. Put it in their temple. And in the night, when this, I don't know, whether maybe the guy fell at night, in the morning, but point is, in the morning, they found him head down. Not only was he head down, but his head was broken and it was just the torso remaining. Okay? Isn't that amazing? Isn't there, for me, when I was like, God, what does this mean? That means that, remember when I told you that the presence of God is not neutral? The presence of God is never neutral. The presence of God is never neutral. And you know why? I'll tell you why it's not neutral and why sometimes it feels like that. Because there are things that you and I should do, yeah, to make sure that we actually experience the transformational power in the presence of God. But for now, we're talking about this God, this ark that could not help the Israelites, fell flat. Didn't fall flat. Dagon falls flat before the Ark of the Covenant. And not only did that happen, go and look at 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. But the hand of God was heavy upon the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. You know, when the Bible says he ravaged them, do you know the meaning of the word ravage? Ravage, it's something deeper than that. Okubaliyao. That is the only way. Like, you know something, I can't, like, you know, like the way Arsenal plays football sometimes. You will see that a team is being ravaged, being eaten. To ravage means to eat. Yeah? Yes, to ravage something, yeah? It means to eat something up. The Bible says that because of the Ark of the Covenant, in their idol temple, the Lord ravaged them with tumors. These were not small things where you go and press in the morning and something comes. Tumors. You've seen tumors. So the Lord ravaged Ashdod. Okay? And then, and verse 9, it says, verse 7. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of God, of the God of Israel, must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh towards us, and Dagon, our God. Therefore, they sent and gathered themselves, all the lords of the Philistines, and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the God of Israel be carried away to Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel away. We go to verse 10. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. While at Gath, the same thing happened. These guys also suffered. Okay? So, after they had carried it away to Gath, the hand of the Lord was again on that city with very great destruction. Both men, big and small, where tumors broke out on them. Even those guys of Gath said, no. Chinochisirani, no, before Ekron. So now they say, let us send it to what? To Ekron. Verse 10. Then they sent the ark of God to Ekron. So it was, as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of God, of the God of Israel to us, to kill us and our people. So they gathered together again and said, you know what? Let us send this thing away. But before they sent it away, again God had showed them fire. In verse 12, he said, it says that, and the men who did not die by the tumors, like the men, and the men who did not die with, were stricken with tumors. So there was death, which is destruction, but there was also the people who stayed alive and well. They actually had tumors and they cried out. Okay? You see what the presence of God is doing? So Ekron is in fear. They're like, So this ark of the Lord, the ark of the God of Israel, moves from Gaza to Ashdod to Ekron. Five cities of the Philistines. But in all those, there was destruction. God was ravaging them. Meanwhile, Israel, on the other hand, they are there without the presence of God. I don't even know what was keeping them. Maybe the mercy of the Lord. I do not know. So, eventually, we go to chapter 6. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. It was 7 months under destruction of the Lord. It's like 1,000 years. Because there is no hope for you. When the Lord's hand is on you for 7 months, there's just no hope. It is so bad. So, for 7 good months, the ark, or the what carried the presence of God, was in the Philistine territory. Okay? And now, we go to chapter 6, verse 19. Everywhere this ark went, and it was mismanaged and mishandled, and it was dishonored, there was destruction. Every time the presence of God is mismanaged and mishandled, there are negative consequences. And whether you believe it or not, I believe when you read the stories of the men of God, they will tell you some of those things, people dropping dead in the presence of God. When there is sin in the camp and the Lord comes, in the Israelite camp, people would die, okay? Just because, you know, God is holy. So that is basically what was happening. So in chapter 6, verse 19, again, from Ekron, they go to Beth Shemesh. The point is, all throughout all these places, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, all those, yeah? Even Beth Shemesh. All these people were going through the same thing the others were going through. God was destroying them. God was destroying them. And now we go to chapter 7, verses 1. At this point, now the ark had settled in a place called Kirjath Jear. Yeah, that one. Yes, that one. And that is where it had settled, in a certain house of a guy called Abinadab. This guy's house was on a hill. And they had consecrated a priest, a son of Eliezer, to keep the ark of the covenant and to minister around it. Now, it stayed there, and the Bible doesn't tell us that anything had happened at that point. So now enter in. Remember when I said Samuel was a young boy who was growing up in the temple under the priesthood of Eli? Now, at this point, he has the status of a true prophet of God. So now he comes and he's done who is judging Israel. Eli had died, his sons had died, the Ark of the Covenant, not in Israel anymore, in the Philistines, whatever. Things are happening there, bad things, bad news, destruction, death, tumors. Now, under the leadership of Samuel, who was judging Israel at that time, he comes up and he tells them in verses 3. Then Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So he tells them, do this, and you'll be delivered from the hand of the Philistines. And when they did that, when you go to 14, you will see that they go out to battle again. Verses 14. Then they go to battle, and then they win the battle this time. But the Ark of the Covenant wasn't with them. So they win, and the Bible says that then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to them, from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. But remember, at that point, the ark was safe somewhere in a guy's house called what? Abinadab. Okay? So, why am I at labor to bring out how the presence of God moved from X to X to X? To show us that still, the presence of God, you cannot be in the presence of God and you live the way you came. Unless ngagwasazewo, it is your choice. Okay? Unless it is your choice. But whenever we come into the presence of God, we as the children of God, we should put a demand on his presence. We should put a demand on his presence. And you see, it's amazing that we experience this on Sunday, but just on the first step there, into the parking lot, it's like the presence has lifted. You come, you sing, we thank the worship team, give them money. Then on Monday, you are victim. You have been beaten, clobbered by this world. Yet you felt the presence of God. Yeah? So if it is true, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, 11 to 12, Jesus fulfilled all the symbolism in this ark. When God tells Moses to build this ark of the covenant in Exodus 25, he gives him specific instructions. But when you read and you study the Bible, all these things that he was told to build the ark with were very symbolic. And they were a shadow of the things to come. Now, here it tells us that, but Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come with the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation. It's not like the ark. Jesus fulfilled all the symbolism that was in the ark of the covenant, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So we see that the Ark of the Covenant, as it was in the Old Testament, was a symbol of the great things to come, was the symbol of Jesus Christ and the presence of God. And when he says in Ezekiel 37, verses 27. Yes. My tabernacle shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God and they shall be my people. This was a prophecy concerning you and I. When Jesus comes, he will tabernacle. When the presence of God comes, it will always be with us. There will be nothing like Bajitute. They have captured it. They have taken it. No, it, he desired to be with us always. Even it's the same thing that we are told about in Genesis 21 verses 3. No, Revelations 21 verses 3. He says concerning the new earth and the new heaven, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. You see that all these prophecies were said, were given, and Jesus Christ came and fulfilled this. But behind those prophecies was God's desire to always dwell with us, to always be with us on Monday, on Sunday, on Friday, on whichever day. Okay? And if we believe that, then why is it that we can't change the situations around us? We cannot, you know, if you truly carry the presence of God, if you truly say that God is with you and dwells with you, you should be able to experience that manifest presence, and people should be, what, ask yourself what kind of vibe you give off when you enter a room. Is it the vibe of, eh, alabika bulungi, and it stops at that, ayamba daka pale, what, about what, kamukute bulungi, or kaskat. Do you stop at that, or they have said that there is something peculiar and unique about you? It is so possible for you to actually harness this presence of God and feel that manifest presence of the Lord, that transformational presence, that when people see you, when they talk to you, you give up the godly, the heavenly presence. There is a time I attended a conference and there was a certain man of God who came into the country and we worshipped. The worship was mainly in Luganda, and the women were, you know, bazookfu, wearing, they veil themselves. That's the long skirts. Oh, you know, cover your hair. No earrings, nothing. Yeah, no earrings. The only thing, if you had specs, okay. But they, I think they even had to check. Naegwe, are those specs or there? But that was the choir. So we sang a tendo. Gweweka, Yesu. From that, eh? Gweweka. We sang a tendo. And now, as we're waiting for the man of God to arrive, and there was a certain presence, even when we're worshiping. It was beautiful worship. But the moment that guy stepped in the room, you didn't have to look behind. Just something changed. Something changed in the room. And it's very possible. And that is your heritage. That when you step in the room, don't leave those things for men of God. You can actually take charge of things at your workplaces by tapping into this presence of God. This guy, the moment, you know, I was deep in worship, but I just felt a switch in the presence of God. And indeed, when I opened my eyes, I saw the guy was at the pulpit. I didn't even know why he passed. And the moment he got the microphone, he started saying, there is a heavenly being there. There is another one there. Observe the presence of God. Be, you know, do not look on that side. Do not do what, like, just go deeper in the Lord. I looked at this guy, and honestly, even the way he was dressed, I was like, there was really nothing about him to bring the presence that Kampala people know. For us, our presence, when you drive that Range Rover, you drive that Benz, why in a presence? You wear some suit, carry some few weights, eh? Post some pictures that you're carrying weights. People in Kampala think that that is the presence of God. When you have many followers, a crowd that is over how big, Gwaina presence. No, no. And if it is, if you have the presence of God, we bless God that he's using you in our nation, yeah? But what I'm trying to say is that is not the heritage of only men of God. We come here Sunday, Thursday, we minister to you that you may carry this presence wherever you go. It profits me absolutely nothing to minister to us and we have a great service, a great worship session, and you go out there and on Monday you are defeated. You as the people that we lead every day. That makes me feel bad. That means that maybe was the praise and worship superficial? Like, what is wrong? You know? So for me as a minister, and for any minister, you're here, you're worshiping, you know, that should be your aim, that you teach people to carry this presence, not only to feel it when they are with you, but to carry it out there and to be influential with that presence. Okay? When the president comes here, the room changes without even him saying anything. And even if he's wearing, like they say, chigato echisati, yeah? Like some of you like to abuse him. When he comes here, when he's chisati, yeah? Even this microphone may drop from my hands. That is the presence. And even if he's not a president anymore, you've seen, I think I sort of like tend to feel it around Amemen. When an Amemen packs, I think even one day I think I was like, I'll get married to an army man. There is a way in which when they're in their fatigue and they walk into the room like this, you know, you just stand. When I was still working in an 8-to-5 job, there is a time we were hosting General Kale Kaihura. So I didn't know the protocol, Bambi. Me, I was new at this organization. I didn't know anything. So we were going to host him for this workshop, him and a couple of other generals. So we start the meeting. Of course, you know, government people, they delay, they take their time. So the meeting, we are like two hours into the meeting. And do you know, Oba was even absent-minded. I just saw people standing up. And the guy who was talking at that point stopped and just stood up. There was an official like thing in the room. We all stood up. Then I realized the general had arrived. He just walked. Yeah? And then he reached, he stood. And then when he sat, it's like as if he's giving the cue, I'm here. No one should be, like he's even checking. No one should be seated. He stood, gave us some time, then he sat. When he sat, that is when everyone sat. Bambi, the guy who was presenting, started fidgeting with, now would like to welcome. Imagine someone is talking about something totally different. But when this person came, he said, now we want to recognize that everything else, about one which spreadsheet stopped. Now we want to recognize the presence of the major. Da, 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 da. So, and this guy was just shaking his head and nodding. Just, But the point was, I got the point. When authority comes into the room, stand. But it's more than that, just the presence of those guys. Glory to God. Now a human being can garner that kind of response from a fellow human being. How much more for God? And you see, my experience with him impacted me so much, okay, that when I left, I'm like, I'm going to tell Sam about this, that there is still an opportunity for him to join the army. Glory to God. Amen. So this presence we experience is transformational. It cannot leave you the same. If you desire, it is open for it. To the degree you desire to walk in that presence, you will get it. To the degree you desire it. And for those who are not able to walk like that and see things moving and changing around them, you will still get to heaven. But you will not have lived the life that God has called you to live on earth. You will not have lived it to the fullest. It's possible for you to go somewhere and people to enter your shop, yeah? And they're like, you know what? There's just something. There's just something about this shop. It's possible for you to have a shop at the end, in an arcade, at the end of the line, and you change the environment there. It's amazing how we are so in tune with negative vibes, energy, witchcraft. You find people saying, oyo mulogo. But no one says, "Banango, that's a Christian. That one follows Jesus." You know? But when they sent you, "Omulogo, yasaze wano." Even the Christians, who'll be passing the other side. Say, yes, yabada fuwe mind. You know those things of early morning. But that one there, that person is bad. Guess what? Christians will avoid that person. But that is not how, that's not what we are called to do. Amen? Glory to God. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's see how positive, we talked about the negative things, and now let's see how the presence of God works for us. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 8 to 12. Well, let's read from verse 1. And again David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Remember the guy whose house was on a hill? And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out to the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, sistrums, and on cymbals. And they came to Nacon's threshing floor. Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took a hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah and called the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was so afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. 11, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom for all and all his household. Glory to God. This is, God was so lethal. I felt it was excessive, honestly. Yeah? But he had given them instructions on how to handle. He had given Israel instructions on how to handle the Ark of the Covenant. So when, I don't know why it was this excessive, but man, God was a God of wrath. Eh? So this Uzzah touches, it stumbles, the oxen stumble, he touches it and he is hammered, he dies. But again, before that, the Lord had actually killed people for looking into the ark like this. You go back and read your Bibles. I can't find it here, but I came across it. When these guys looked into the ark like this, the Lord struck them and they died. Then again, the Lord strikes Uzzah for just chigendagwa. Uzzah is thinking, man, I'm doing the Lord a favor. Pa, he also what? Drops dead. But that is besides the point. As you see that this ark of the covenant was in the house of Obed-Edom. And the Lord says, this guy was blessed. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Obed-Edom was blessed by the presence of God in this ark. You LAT members, the Lord lives in you. The Lord dwells among us when we come together. Why are you not as blessed as this Obed-Edom guy? Oh, you should see this kind of blessing around you. Hallelujah. So God wants us to experience this day-to-day presence, that manifest presence. And in Acts 16, let's go to Acts 16. I didn't give it to Robin. Acts 16, 25. Let's see people who put a demand on the presence of God by what they did, and things changed. The environment changed. The famous story. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Mm-hmm. So here, Paul and Silas are in jail. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Then suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to get saved? You know the story? They led this guy, the jailer, to the Lord. Paul and Silas sang hymns. They sang hymns that brought the presence of God. Only that by that. That is the only thing that can explain this miracle. That the presence of God found them in jail and opened the door. So in the presence of God, there is deliverance. In the presence of God, there is healing. In the presence of God, there are all these great things that we can experience. There is a blessing. And it is yours to take. But to the degree you desire to walk in these things, to the degree you desire to see this presence work for you, you will experience it. It is atekayo engalo yafuna, asaba yawebwa, to the degree you desire these things. So it is our desire as LAT that God will tabernacle with us whenever we meet. But for me, I would like that God tabernacles with us in our homes, in our offices, that just like Silas and Paul, you cause a change. You cause something to move. Sometimes we struggle with things unnecessarily. But if we know what the presence of God is, do you know, by the way, that sometimes I receive prayer requests, yeah? And all I pray for is, Lord, please be with that person. Let your presence go with. Because I know that sometimes it's not about breaking. You're there breaking. Sometimes it's about breaking, casting. Sometimes it's even about giving, the things that we preach here. Okay? Sometimes it's not even about the tongues. It's just about mukama o kuvera nawe. Naleta wenja olo eleti. Glory to God. Things happen in your lives that you don't even have time to go first dream about them. And you don't have time to first dream. Sometimes you don't even have time to first speak in tongues. Sometimes you don't have time to first. You're in a plane, for example, and there is turbulence. Hallelujah. I know why Juliana is laughing. My husband doesn't like turbulence. He will cancel trips just because he says, for me, those things of turbulence, you're up there, you're suspended. Who is going to help you? So he can even cancel a trip because of what? Turbulence. Now, his fear of turbulence. And even if it's, there is this time, I've remembered one last story. There's this time when Sam had an opportunity to travel to Southern Sudan, and they asked him for his details. Now they were going to use a small aircraft. You know why these things where you see the guy, like though I'm seeing Mark there. Guy is eating a donut, engaging gears, speaking what? So Sam handed in his papers. Then they asked him for his weight. Sam said, who is asking me for my weight? What kind of aircraft is this? Then they told him, no, it's a small one, so we need to know your body weight. Sam said, you know what? I will take a bus to Southern Sudan, but I'm not going to go in that small what aircraft. Who asks for your body weight? People ask for luggage. Yeah, that I understand. But my body weight? No. So Sam canceled the trip. But you see, imagine you're up there in the air. And you've heard these stories, or you've seen them, where you know, someone just enters, and maybe the course of the plane changes. If it was going to get an accident, if it was going to crash, things change. So you may not desire that your shadow heals people, and that I understand. You may not desire that when you enter a room, people feel a switch, but Joaniavo, it's all right. But at least desire that the presence of God does things for you. Okay? Wherever you are, that when you hand in your papers, when you hand in your proposals, the presence of the Lord is on those things. Glory to God. That when you go somewhere, people will see something about you that is more than the physical. That they will say, people will be drawn to you. Glory to God. There are people you meet, and because of that presence of God, yeah, they have worked it, they have practiced it. There's something like that, by the way. They have practiced it, they have moved in it. You want to be with them, you want to hear what they have to say. You feel a certain drawing to them, you feel a certain, like a kindred spirit towards them. Glory to God. Now, it may not be anything spiritual, but it could be something concerning business. It could be something concerning parenting. There are people, honestly, mothers I have been drawn to. Because I don't know so much about them, but you just see, you hear them, and you're like, but I want to hear, you know? I want to know what this person thinks, how they got here. So this presence of God works for you. When you put a demand on it, you may not want healing, you may not want what, but there's something that you need that I'm so sure the presence of God will be a blessing to you, L.A.T. Amen? Glory to God. And when you have the presence of God, victory is guaranteed. A blessing is guaranteed. Where you don't have to, until that blessing is not just yours, it just goes. You know, it just goes and touches people around you. Glory to God. Amen, L.A.T. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, that we experience it in L.A.T., O God. We thank you, Lord, that you have taught us to respect your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you have taught us to reverence your presence, to desire it, Father. Lord God, right now, you release your presence in a new way upon each one of us that is here, upon our children, upon our workplaces, Father. You use us as points of contact, Father, to bring change in our communities, to bring change in our estate, to bring change wherever you have sent us to, Father. Lord, not because of us, but because you feel us. Lord, we want to thank you that you promised to tabernacle with us till the end of time. Lord, anytime we have felt we are alone, Lord, we thank you for reminding us this morning that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will always be with us. Help us, Father, to be conscious of this manifest presence. Help us to be conscious of this experiential presence. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we prayed.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.